Greetings in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with you this morning. I bring you greetings from the Ridgeview congregation in Missouri. I'm a long ways away from home this morning, but I'm glad to be in your presence here in New York City. I was blessed with the devotional, that psalm. I enjoy numbers, and so I was thinking about the psalm while he was reading, but I also started counting. How many of you know how many times that psalm said, "The voice of the Lord"? It's always intriguing to me, the study of Bible numbers, but it was seven times. I counted it quite a few times, and it was seven times, and I think that's significant in the Bible. You know enough about the number seven to... I was intrigued by that, the voice of the Lord. For a sermon text this morning, you can open your Bibles to John chapter 8. As he was talking about the voice of the Lord, and as I was thinking about my message this morning, or God's message to us, I was thinking about our little congregation back home, 1,000 miles away, maybe a little further than 1,000 miles away, listening to the voice of God there. And that's the beautiful thing about the voice of God. It's not restricted to just here this morning. The voice of God is everywhere over his created world. My text this morning is John chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus' words, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." My sermon title is Jesus, the Light of Life. Jesus says in this verse, "I am the light of the world." What did he mean? What did the people think who were present when Jesus said that? "I am the light of the world." If I would walk the streets of New York City this morning and proclaim that to the hearers, or if I would proclaim that to you this morning, that I am the light of the world, what would you say? How would it affect you? But Jesus said that, and people around him heard him say that, and surely they said, "What does he mean? What does Jesus mean? I am the light of the world." What a proclamation he made. Surely his listeners argued, even as we can today, about what he really meant. "I am the light of the world." Maybe they raised this question, "But how can he be the light of the world? That's what the sun is. The sun comes up every morning and makes the world light. So how can a man say, 'I am the light of the world'?" In the end of the verse, he says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." What is the light of life? What did Jesus mean? Was Jesus trying to say that he does what the sun does and that he produces life through the process of photosynthesis? Was he trying to say that he is the one that makes the plants grow? Or perhaps he was just speaking metamorphically. Perhaps he just meant, "I am the spiritual light." giving spiritual life, conquering spiritual darkness. Is that what Jesus meant? But to his listeners of the day, someone would have said, well, that's what he means, there certainly would have been someone who said, well, that can't be true. This man is just a country preacher of Nazareth. He has no formal education. He has never traveled beyond the borders of Israel. And he's claiming to be the spiritual light of the whole world. How could Jesus expect anyone to believe him? I am the light of the world. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to try to answer that question. What did Jesus mean when he said, I am the light of the world? I don't have all the answers to this subject. I hope that I inspire you to dig and to think about what Jesus meant even more than what I have to say this morning. But I have some things to suggest, some things that might be related to it, and some definite answers. But I've always been intrigued by the account in Genesis of the creation. In verse 3 it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. What happened there? Jump over to verse 14. This is later. This is the fourth day, not the first day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light unto the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So everything we know as physical light was created in verses 14 to 19. The lights of the night, the light of the day. And so what did God create on the first day when he created light? And does that have anything to do with Jesus saying, I am the light of the world? Turn with me to John chapter 1. Just a couple of references here in the outstart. Trust you'll bear with me as we turn to them. John chapter 1, another very familiar passage that talks about light. Remember, we're thinking about the question, what did Jesus really mean when he said, I am the light of the world? I am the light of life. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, Jesus, in verse 9, I believe, is the true light. That was the true light, Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You could spend a lot of time on these verses, but I'm just going to focus on verse 9. Actually, I wanted verse 4, first of all, those two verses. Verse 4, in him was life. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. And then in verse 9, he talks about this true light which lighteth every man. I think I can add there, every man, woman, or child that cometh into the world. What does that mean? Have you been lighted this morning? I believe you have been, whether you're saint or sinner. It says, every man that comes into the world is given a light. He is lit. Jesus is the light that lighteth every man. What is that light that lighteth every man? Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. This is the account of Paul. Paul coming to Mars Hill and finding this inscription. Mars Hill was where the people of the day came to worship. It was idol worship. But there was one idol that had on it, to the unknown God. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." And Paul is now explaining who this God is. Verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Paul is describing this God to these heathen people who were worshiping on an altar that said, to the unknown God. He's describing God to them. He says that this God that they're trying to serve, the unknown God, is a God that doesn't dwell in temples. He's a God that can't be worshipped with man's hands. He's a God that giveth all life and all breath and all things. And he hath made of one blood all the nations of the world. That's the God that you and I serve this morning. The God that claims to be the light of the world. In him we live and move and have our being. How true. None of us could live. None of us could move. None of us could be the person we are without the light of Jesus and the life of Jesus in us. In Acts chapter 10, I'm not going to turn to it, but Paul says there, "In every nation, he that feareth and worketh righteousness is accepted." And I find that a beautiful picture today. Over all the nations of the world, over all the cities of the world, in every nation, in every city, He that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with God. Jesus being the light of life certainly affects us in many ways. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Last Bible illustration, thinking about what Jesus may have meant when he said, I am the light of life. I am the light of the world. Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. I'm not going to read all of this passage, but if you look at it, you'll see that verses 1 through 9 are the accounts of the resurrection of Jesus. The women who came on the first day of the week to add spices to his body. In another gospel, it tells us how they wondered who was going to roll away the stone from the sepulcher, and they got there and they found out the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. And they were much perplexed. Verse 5, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? The angel said that. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Is that what Jesus meant when he said, I am the light of life? I am the light of the world. Did he mean that because he had power over death, that he was the light of life? In the next part of the message, I would like to just list a number of points, a number of answers to the question that Jesus, the statement that Jesus gave, and the question that surely the people who heard him say it asked, I am the light of the world. I am the light of life. What did Jesus really mean? And you can add points to this as you think about this. There are many answers, but here are some. Point number one, Jesus meant that I am the power. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, it has this little phrase, and it resembles another one we read in another passage, but it says, by him all things consist. There is nothing on the face of this earth that you or I can see that is alive this morning that does not continue to live and consist, but because of the light of Jesus. I am the power. Jesus was trying to say that. Why is Jesus so powerful? You don't need to turn to it, but in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, Micah's describing Jesus, and he says, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. That's why Jesus has so much power, because he is from everlasting. Hebrews 1, in the fourth verse, I believe it is. I'm not going to turn to that either, but it says that he upholdeth all things by his word. And if you look at that text, you'll see that he's talking about physical things, such as the sun, the moon, the stars, the things that we know to be in orbit. He's upholding them all by his word. And he's everlasting. He upholds the sun as we know it that gives us daily light. But he was before the sun. He created the sun. He keeps the sun, the moon, the stars, and the earth synchronized so that each morning the sun comes up. The earth, as we know it today, as scientists believe, is traveling around the sun in orbit at a speed of 66,000 miles per hour. It takes one whole year to make the orbit around the sun. And that orbit is almost 595 million miles that we're flying around in the universe, circling the sun. While we are doing that, the earth is revolving on its axis, and it takes exactly 365 days, 6 hours, 9 minutes, 9.54 seconds to spin one time. And that's 1 year. And that astounding time clock has been going on ever since God created it, and it's never a second off. You think back to Bible times, thinking about God's power on the sun. Maybe someone can tell me, what happened back in Gibeon in Joshua's day that was peculiar about the sun? Can anybody tell me? It stood still. God could do that again today if he chose to. That's how great God is. This light of the world, this Jesus. What happened during the crucifixion to the sun? Well, the Bible tells us that for 3 hours there was total darkness in the middle of the day. How did God make that happen? I don't know. But he can. He can. Remember that. Jesus was saying when he said, I am the light of the world, I am the power. Point number two, I am the light which lighteth every man. And we looked at that just briefly. I'd like to think about that just a little bit again. I am the light that lighteth every man. I think that's what Jesus was saying when he said, I am the light of the world. In every child that you are familiar with, those of you that are familiar with young children, I see a number of young children here this morning. You think about them being lit by God and some proofs of that. Some people ask the question sometimes, do you have to teach a child to lie? And those of you that are parents that have worked with young children know the answer very readily, no. The answer is no. You don't have to teach him to lie. But another question I have for you, do you have to teach him that it's wrong to lie? Well, you certainly should. But the first time your 3 or 4 year old lies to you, maybe I should say your 5 or 6 year old, maybe that would be, put it in a better category. Does he know that it was wrong to lie? You think about that in relation to children. Does he know something about wickedness? Does a child on the street who has no parent, who has no one to tell him what is right and wrong, does he have any idea when he does evil that he has done wrong? I believe he does, and I believe it's because of that light which lighteth every man. We as adults certainly understand, even if we haven't been taught the Bible, the heathens in faraway lands that have never seen the Bible still have a light that guides them in the right direction to light, and they still do have a knowledge, at least a partial knowledge, of good and evil. And I believe that's because of the light that God gave them. I believe every child comes into life and continues to grow in life with the realization that there is a God. And that comes from the light that God placed in their soul. Jesus was trying to say when he said, I am the light of the world, I am the light that lighteth every man. Point number three, Jesus was saying, I am the spiritual light that gives spiritual life. Jesus was saying that, I believe. I am the spiritual light that gives spiritual life. 1 John 4, verse 9 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That's what Jesus wants us to do, live through him. He wants us to be full of the spiritual light that gives us spiritual life. And that's what Jesus was trying to say when he said, I am the light of the world. Point number four, I believe Jesus was also saying that I am the life. And by that I mean physical life. And I mean human life. And I mean life that the animals have. And I mean plant life. And I mean everything that you find on this world, on this globe that you step upon, that you see from day to day, everything that has life. Jesus is that life. Man can't make that life. Man has altered it at times. Man sometimes takes life away from something. But God always allows that. God is always the one that gives it. If something happens, if something dies, whether it's a plant, whether it's an animal, whether it's a human being, regardless what it is, there is nothing that you and I can do about it after God takes the life away from it. So Jesus was saying, I am the life. Point number five, Jesus, I believe, was saying, this is my last point, I am the light of eternal life. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22. Through 25. Revelation 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. This is almost at the end of the Bible, and when I think back to Genesis, where we read about what God created on the first day, I raise this question, did God create on the first day the same thing that we have here? A light that we have no need of any physical light? Is that the same? I'll let you think about that. I don't have all the answers to that. But Jesus was saying, I am the light of eternal life. Human beings are eternal beings. Created by God, every single human being on the face of the earth is an eternal being. Created by God. And then he's describing to us heaven, where there is no need of the sun or the moon. And the Lamb is the light. Jesus is the light. And where there is no night there. Does that mean physical night as we know it? That's coming tonight at 9 o'clock? Or does that mean spiritual night? I think it means both. It means both to me. In heaven, there will be no night there. There is no night there, physically speaking. There is no night there, spiritually speaking, because there is no sin. I am the light of the world, Jesus speaking. If he was present this morning, I think he would still give us that message, that he is the light of the world. He is the power. He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is the spiritual light that gives spiritual life. He is the physical life, all of it that we know, and he is the light of eternal life. For a closing passage, you can turn with me to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. I'm going to read verses 14 through 16 of Philippians chapter 2. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Truly, whether you live in Missouri this morning, whether you live in New York City, whether you live in Africa, whether you live in Europe, you all live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. But in the midst of that, there is the light of Jesus that you and I are to be taking and showing to the world about us. And I'm blessed by your congregation here in New York City making an effort to show the light of Jesus to the dying world about us. Paul says that he doesn't want to run his whole life in vain. So what's he going to do about it? He's going to be a light for Jesus. Because Jesus is that light of eternal life. And if you spread the light of Jesus, it's eternal. It lasts forever. May God bless you in your endeavors. May each of us remember that Jesus is the light of the world. The light that can drive sin out of a sinner's heart. That's who Jesus is. And may we share that with others. May we apply the blood to our own lives and the sin that we find ourselves in on this walk of life. Shall we kneel for prayer?